today. We have an extraordinary development. We are able to patch in a three-way interview with Champaign Urbana activist and current political prisoner, Ahmed Bensouda, who is being held by the Immigration and Naturalization Service as a detainee. Ahmed's history has been that he has been a leading voice in the Urbana area in the anti-authoritarian movement in that community, has been a stalwart in the Palestine Solidarity Movement and the divestment movement from Israeli apartheid for the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. And on May 30th, Ahmed was arrested by federal officials in Urbana, federal law enforcement in Urbana, and detained. And this story is breaking because a number of other political prisoners other Arab American and Palestinian solidarity activists were arrested about the same time on May 30th. So we'd like to ask Ahmed friends to describe exactly what happened and where we stand now in the case to free Ahmed Bensouda.
All right, I'll jump in here. Hi, everyone. I'm Ahmed, and I'll just go through briefly what happened exactly. I'm talking to you from DuPage, Illinois. So I was picked up by the FBI on May 30th. So they came to my apartment and picked me up for what they said at the time was immigration violation. After which I was taken to Champaign County Jail and interrogated by them, by the FBI, and then put in a lockup for the night, and then picked up by the INS the next day and taken to Sangamon County Jail, where I was held for a week supposedly detained by the INS and questioned again by the FBI about links to terrorism and other questions like that. I was then transferred up to DuPage County Jail, and I've been held here since then. I had a hearing, my first court hearing, which we've been pushing for, a bond hearing for my case, on Wednesday this week, and the reason that I hadn't had a bond hearing in the past, apparently, as far as the INS told me, was because the FBI was trying to determine whether or not they wanted me. And at the hearing, as it turned out, it was a closed hearing. The proceedings weren't recorded by the judge or by a court clerk or anything. And the government lawyer said that he asked for a continuance, which means that the bond hearing was pushed forward a week. The next hearing is going to be on the 21st, and it looks like that's going to be a closed hearing again, which means no public, no media, and no media access to the court proceedings, and it's possible that it won't be recorded as well, and that the government will be submitting secret evidence against why I should get bond. So that's what we're struggling to right now, to push for a bond hearing that is open to the media and to the public, so that people can see exactly what I'm being accused with, apart from the visa violation, which is clear and which I've clarified in public what my visa status was, which I'd overstayed my student visa in this country. But secret evidence would be over and above that, and it looks like it's going to be mainly of a political nature. As mentioned, I've been politically active in Champaign-Urbana, and all our work has been very, very public, me and my friends and my comrades, and it's available for everyone to see and to read, and it looks like that's what they're going to submit to the judge right now.
Achman, it's Chris Giovannis from Chicago Indie Media. Can you talk a little bit more about the kind of political work that you've been doing in Champaign-Urbana, the kind of work that you and your colleagues have tasked yourselves to since you've been down there, and then we can try to develop some kind of an understanding about what really the political agenda of the feds is in targeting you.
The core, the focus of my work down there has been Palestine solidarity. Right now involved with a campaign to pressure the University of Illinois to remove its investments from corporations that are invested in Israel, basically to hold institutions accountable for their relationship with the apartheid state. And other work we've done in the past has included anti-white supremacy work, organizing against Matt Hale and the World Church of the Creator in Illinois, in the Midwest, with along with the Anti-Racist Action of Chicago. And those have basically been the core and focus of our work. We've also done some support work for the youth campaign, for the racist mascot at the University of Illinois. But that's basically been the... That's a summary of what we've been doing. And again, like I say, all of us, and me and my comrades, are known in the community, and we have done all our work publicly. We've had rallies and demonstrations. We've posted flyers and given public statements and official statements in the past. And again, all of those will hopefully be available in the coming days for everyone to see. But it's politics of a strong anti-authoritarian.
Hello.
Talk
to us for a little bit about the anti-authoritarian nature of the way that you and the other activists that you work with in Champaign organize, both amongst yourselves and in the broader community.
Well, the principles that we have that are very, very dear to us, and that we are always trying to make clear in the events we organize, are principles like direct democracy and like popular self-management, for the rights of people to actively take a role in what's going on, and to hold the institutions and power and authority that's around them accountable for the actions that they take, inevitably influence all our lives and our community and the way we function. So that has been the gist of what we've been doing. I myself, I'm an anarchist, and most of the people I work with are. And we have a broad support group and a broad range of views for the, for example, for the divestment campaign, where many have anti-authoritarian tendencies and don't necessarily ascribe to any particular political ideology. But, we come together on anti-authoritarianism, we come together on anti-racism, and we bring those principles to all the work, whether it's anti-white supremacy work or whether it's the Palestine solidarity work, which is so crucial at this point in this country, where basically a lot of what's going on there in Palestine, Israel, is decided.
Now, Ahmed, you were arrested, interestingly, on the same day as another secular Arab student activist in Boston, Jaudat Abouaza, who has Canadian citizenship, is studying here and has been working very closely with the Boston Answer Coalition, principally on Palestine solidarity issues. This also came in the wake of not one but two raids on the home of New York activist Farouk Abdelmouti, another extremely high-profile activist, secular Palestinian activist in the New York area, who is one of the core organizers for the Palestine Aid Society. So I wonder if you could talk to us a little bit about what your assessment is in terms of this ratcheted up federal interest, this new wave of arrests, if you will, that seem to target secular activists, that progressive activists that are working particularly on the issue of Palestinian solidarity.
Well, the only way I can understand that really right now is that they consider this type of activism to be a threat, particularly secular politics around Palestine, Israel, and coming from Arab or Muslim activists in this country is perceived to be something of a maybe a new or different trend that they perhaps don't know how to deal with. The fact that we that there's no way they could ever accuse us of having ties or links with any of their any of the bogeymen they've created, the religious fundamentalists or reactionary bogeymen that they've created in the media and in the public mind, is perhaps something that scares them a little bit, and they feel the need to crack down on this type of organizing right now. And again, maybe I should have made that clear as well. My politics are very very secular, and although we do have a broad base of support, including religious people, Christians and Muslims, who find inspiration for their interest in and willingness to work to resolve the situation in Palestine and Israel in a just way from their spiritual beliefs, we make it clear that our hopes for that part of the world and our vision is one that is even more humane than that, and I guess it's a different trend in the movement that they don't know how to deal with right now, but it's not going to be defeated because it speaks to ordinary people everywhere. It speaks to ordinary people in this country, ordinary Americans, who are our allies and who are more and more coming to realize what's going on there and willing to take a stand and confront the powers that be for the actions, for what they do with complete impunity every day in Palestine and also all over the world.
Ahmed, your arrest had a profound impact on the progressive movement in the Urbana-Champaign area, and your friends and supporters have been working pretty tirelessly to build popular support for your release. I know that they're a part of our conversation today, so can we have Aska Hadil or Rana or others to talk a little bit about what it's been like to have Ahmed Bensouda languishing in jail, and the kind of personal impact it has had on your lives, and the kind of impact it's had on the work the really valuable political work that you're doing in the Urbana-Champaign area. And if possible, what you would like indie media listeners to this radio program today to do to provide some support for Ahmed Bensouda and the other Palestinian and Arab American political prisoners that are now languishing in federal jails.
Well, I think in Champaign Urbana, it's really brought this issue to light of political prisoners being taken in. The community has been overwhelmingly supportive. We have a broad base of support of people of all different viewpoints. I think nationally what we want is we want to make a national coordinated effort to free Ahmed and other political prisoners. In solidarity activists.
Let's assume that, you know, obviously Ahmed is not the first activist that's going to be picked up, and that the feds seem to be widening the net. They've started to go after at least one North American activist in the Chicago area that we know of. We seem to see a march towards a real jackboot security state here. So perhaps talk a little bit about how people should deal with the feds when they come knocking at our doors.
Well, I think just in advance there needs to be a vigilance in different communities for this kind of thing happening, you know, and for someone being picked up or in the position where they might be picked up, which, although we weren't necessarily prepared, or in my situation, my friends mobilized and maybe have fought hard to get people together within the first day of me being detained, and
very fortunate that I even knew what happened to him.
Yeah.
And they came and took him, and they didn't give him the right to a phone call the first night. It just so happened that Rana, one of our comrades, was driving up as he was being taken away. So what I think is very important for everyone who's listening and everyone who is part of any type of solidarity work or anti-authoritarian work or anything, needs to establish some sort of network where they are, first of all, they know their rights, they know that they don't have to answer questions by the feds, especially without the presence of a lawyer. And at the same time, they should also make it a point to make sure that somebody knows where they are at all times.
And also that people are ready to come together and put like a public, to have a public presence and put public pressure on the institutions that are holding them. Because I think that's made a very big difference in my case, where the questioning stopped after it was seen that there was some interest and that there were people around me who were standing with me. And I think that kind of network, like Hedio mentioned, needs to be in place and ready for others and ready to respond to the authorities when they do think that they can get away with holding someone and questioning them. And I think we'll begin to see results really quickly, and the more this happens, I think also the more people will realize it's a recurrent issue, and you know, it's happening all the time. People are being picked up and held all the time.
Mm-hmm. And for that, one thing that we would like to suggest and potentially begin is some sort of emergency response network. You know, at least within the locals, and potentially national, so that people can mobilize on a national level when an activist in Boston is picked up and an activist in Champaign is picked up. Who knows who else is going to be picked up? So from now on, what we're hoping to establish, one of the things we're hoping to establish with this campaign is more preparation to mobilize immediately and to make sure that, if anything, at least we know what's happened to them.
Hello, Ahmed and Hadil, this is Wajid from Madison Independent Media Center. And, you know, when the first people started being detained in September, you know, I started tracking the numbers, and it seemed clear at that time that we needed to make some sort of connection between the activist community that are already networked, like independent media and you know, anti-globalization activists, and the Arab American community. But, you know, in conversations, it felt rather inaccessible to me, you know, an activist in the upper Midwest. I would like to know what ideas you have about where we can go from here to make those connections right now, because we're 10 months late. You know, there are 1,200 people at least in prison right now, and we don't know their names even. And I'm not exactly sure what we can do to get access to their names or to even know who is being detained today.
I think one thing that needs to be made clear to people who we do want to be part of this network is why and who, why are they targeting the people that they are targeting, and who are they targeting? And it just kind of ties back to the original question that I wanted to address before, and that is that someone, I think Chris was asking, is there a level of alarm from the government here as far as what the language is being used now, and the type of activist work that's being done now, and especially, you know, looking at who's been targeted as far as Ahmed and Jalad up in Boston. The difference between these guys and other folks who have not been detained, some of the differences, especially in the recent times with the different language, is in regards to Palestine solidarity work,
is, for example, calling for the right of return of refugees. That is causing huge alarm in the Zionist community. Calling out Zionism as a racist ideology. That also is this, and calling for the destruction, the dismantling of the Jewish state as a Jewish-only racist settler state. These are things that are causing huge alarm in the communities and in the U.S. government, because when these things come to the public eye, then it will completely expose the U.S. for the things that they have done, not only to the Palestinian people, but people of color all over the world, people of color in this country, and the system of white supremacy that it has been functioning on since the beginning, since the U.S.'s inception, as far as how it's been including the American Indians that were here before. So that's something that would be phenomenal to network people on, especially people of color and solidarity activists and prison rights activists and activists. A unifying factor that the U.S. government is trying to silence us, and that shifted its focus from Muslims to now people who are going to expose the U.S. for what it really is, for the U.S. government for what it really is. And that's something that we should be focusing on, targeting people who could be in coalition with us to create this network, not just in a continued effort to expose the U.S. government, but also to protect ourselves and to make sure that we have a support network that we can fall back on.
Hadil, this is Dick Riley from the Chicago Independent Media Center. One of the things that has been raised is the possibility that one of the reasons the government is increasingly alarmed is that a new movement to force divestment from Israeli apartheid seems to be growing all over the United States, on campuses and in communities across the United States. People are demanding an end to U.S. support for U.S. financial and military support for the Israeli occupation and Israeli apartheid. But they've taken the demands even farther to call for divestment, to call for an end to also university investment in private corporations that do business with the apartheid state. In Berkeley and in the West Coast, this has become a pretty explosive political issue. Do you think that Ahmed's role and the role of your group at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign to push forward the issue of divestment has had an impact in terms of not only galvanizing the movement for this, but drawing federal attention?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think definitely that it is definitely a new turn and something that has taken notice not only by the U.S. government, but also by Zionist groups here in the U.S., where the ADL and AIPAC have made this a specific item on their agendas to destroy the divestment campaign. And we see that with the way that they dealt with the Berkeley students and trying to expel them, now with the detainment of Ahmed Bensouda and Dawad in Boston. But another thing, it's even a step further than that. It's not just about targeting the companies. It's not just about targeting the U.S., you know, U.S. foreign policy. It's also about what do we want. And what we want is an end to the direction that the Intifada has taken now, at least the focus the Intifada has taken now, where the U.S. is constantly focusing on Arafat. You know, Arafat is the cameras come on, you see Israeli victims, crying, their families crying, and then you see Arafat walking around his torn down home. So what we are calling for, and the divestment campaign is definitely just one tool in that, because the divestment campaign is not going to liberate Palestine, it's just a piece of that. What we want is for the struggle to return to a popular struggle, not a struggle of the PA and, you know, Israel fighting in the UN or whatever. This is a struggle for the people. We want the power to return to the Palestinian people to determine their own future. That's what we're calling for. And also, what we're calling for is the end to a Jewish race state. We want one land, Palestine, Israel, where the right of return for the refugees is recognized, and where everyone is given equal rights, and an end to the Palestinian Authority as the dictators that they have functioned as since the beginning.
One of the things that our technicians have pointed out in this process of live streaming through Indie Media Radio is that our interview has been a little uneven, largely because of some technical problems, which we apologize to everybody for.
Everybody hear Ahmed, though.
So, yes. And what we want to do is re-ask one question.
Ahmed, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Ahmed Bensouda, at this point in time, as far as we know, you are the very first Arab anarchist arrested in the United States. And there is an entire anti-authoritarian movement hooked into projects like global independent media centers who are eager to, you know, who are discovering this for the first time, that this, that the attack has extended beyond Muslim organizations or Islamic groups and has extended to the left to attack progressive and secular activists, and in at least one case, an Arab anti-authoritarian activist in Champaign-Urbana is now facing the full weight of government repression. So could you briefly recap what the basis of your anti-authoritarian orientation is in Urbana-Champaign and the work that your group has done? I apologize for re-asking this question. It's so crucial to get out to the Global Independent Media Center Network.
The basis of our work in Champaign, Urbana, and in the basis of the way we've organized amongst ourselves is, again, along direct democratic principles, along secular principles, and along anti-racist lines to bring together a very, very diverse group of people who are opposed to the idea that power should be concentrated in the hands of a few people who just use it to entrench themselves in these positions and profit off the backs of most of the rest of us. And we've been trying and we've been working hard on articulating this in the form of different campaigns, in the form of anti-white supremacy activism in the Illinois area against Matt Hare on the World Church of the Creator, and in the form of anti-racist action and anti-authoritarianism in terms of the Palestine-Israel conflict and Palestine solidarity activism. And the reason we're still doing it is obviously we believe in it, but also the reason we're still doing it down there is because it's been successful and because people have recognized that our position has been consistent and that, for example, when we've been willing to, when we've been critical of Israeli policy and specific aspects of the Israeli state and the way it functions, we've also taken a critical line on the Palestinian National Authority or Arafat and his cronies and blasted them for what they've done to betray their people and the reason and you know we've confronted Prince Al-Hassan of Jordan when he's come into the town supposedly speaking about peace in the Middle East and the chance for peace in the Middle East and giving his vague terms about accountability and peace processes that he's been involved with, and we've stood up and condemned him for the part he's played in the oppression of the Palestinian people and the betrayal of their cause and of their liberation struggle, and condemned him for putting himself in the position where he could be considered like an intellectual moral authority on what's going on there, when he is, you know, he's a prince and he. And as we speak, and since the beginning of the inception of Jordan, political dissidents and activists have been rounded up and disappeared in the middle of the night, and never heard from again by their families. So it's this consistent position that we've taken, I think, that has made us successful in Champaign-Urbana in bringing together a diverse bunch of people, and it's the consistency of anti-authoritarianism and extreme democracy and radical democratic ideas that I think are very appealing to people when they realize the extent and the lengths to which power goes to entrench itself further, and they just see it in the way the U.S. government is has been functioning for years, and maybe it's a little more clear to them now with post 9/11 and the impact that's had on people's consciousness in this country.
Also, Matthew Quest would like to jump in. Matthew is the spokesperson for the national coordinator of the campaign. So, Matthew?
Let me point a question out then. This is Madison in Media streaming from the U.S. Mayor's Conference with Arab political prisoner, anti-authoritarian activist Ahmed Ben Souda, and his comrades from the Champaign, Urbana, and Chicago area. Ahmed is now in detention in DuPage County under INS supervision, although the FBI and quite possibly other federal agencies have certainly had an extreme interest in this case as well. Let's talk a little bit, if we can, and maybe Matt, you want to jump in here with Ahmed and Hadil as well. This wave of political repression that is now targeting explicitly anti-authoritarian progressive Arab political activists in the United States comes under the rubric of lethal attacks on civil liberties and basic human rights like the Patriot Act. And I wonder if you all might want to talk a little bit about the climate that this kind of legislation and a policy by this administration that seems to be to make up new security rules as they go along as tools of repression for everything from free speech to the basic right to dissent.
Well, if I let me jump in here. Can anybody hear me okay?
Yep, you're on.
Okay. And again, this is Matthew Quest, and Ahmed has asked me to be one of his public spokespersons along with Habib Asali as well. I'm particularly the national coordinator for his campaign, his defense campaign. Basically, you know, we are on a united front with all democratic forces that want to challenge the repression of civil liberties by the state. At the same time, as anti-authoritarian activists, we don't expect the state to protect our civil liberties. We have very little regard for the state's capacity to protect our sovereignty at all. And so Ahmed, together with all of us in Unity and Struggle, have been raising the need to oppose the one-party state, the theocratic state, and the welfare state. We question whether it's possible to have a progressive state or ruling class at all. And so, while we appreciate solidarity from all different political tendencies at this time and want to continue to foster unity in a united front against state repression at this time, we see it as the very nature of the state to always try to extend their hand to take away the people's sovereignty. So, our perspective on direct democracy, with the idea that people should govern themselves through their own popular organization, is something, as Ahmed just said, that we consistently apply not only to America, but to the Arab and Muslim world. And people have grown to understand our perspective as we've applied it consistently regarding Arafat or other aspiring elite leaders in the Arab and Muslim world, as well as people of color leaders that might try to hold back the struggle in America.
We're here from Madison Indy Media. We've got our stream back. We're gonna carry on with this interview here. We're on the phone right now with anti-authoritarian Arab activist in the United States, Ahmed Ben Souda, who is currently being held in quote-unquote detention in DuPage County under a technical visa violation that's basically the equivalent of a broken headlight. But the FBI and the INS have moved to actually close his immigration hearing, prevent the press and public from learning more about it, and raise the rubric of national security concerns in what is clearly a political attack on an anti-authoritarian activist who's been doing work particularly in Palestinian solidarity in this country. So I want to throw this open to Ahmed and his colleagues. I wonder if you all could talk a little bit about why it's important for us to raise support around this case and really broaden it, contextualize it, to talk about the kind of attack on civil liberties and the wave of repression against other activist progressive movements and efforts to fight for social and political justice and change in this country and abroad.
Okay. Well, this is Matthew Quest here. One of the ways we'd like to start broadening that movement out is to, as we've tried to do in Champaign, solidify the connections between Palestine solidarity and African Americans. You know, a lot of history has been lost A lot of the great organizations of the 60s and 70s, such as the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, the Black Panther Party, and the League of Revolutionary Black Workers, were consistent anti-imperialists. And when they took up the cause of Palestinian national liberation, they redefined their own civil rights struggles through more of an internationalist black power perspective. Very important that we look at the fact that SNCC had to break with the liberal Jewish Zionists, who only put forward a limited conception of multiracialism, that the Black Panther Party went and visited the occupied territories under political pressure, as well that the League of Revolutionary Black Workers and their student activism in Detroit was repressed, and their civil freedom of press and civil liberties was tried to be taken away because they articulated a perspective that got out, you know, the fact that the Palestinians were a colonized people under the Zionist state of Israel. Now, when we take all that into account, we have to keep that history alive and project it into the present and the future, where African Americans and Arab and Muslim people are divided. They're divided in Detroit, they're divided in Chicago, because that type of multiracial anti-imperialism, but among people of color as well, is not there. People like Hadil and Ahmed represent, even though they have been organizing within a multiracial organization, is the rise of radical anti-imperialist and class struggle ideas among Arab and Muslim youth. And if those ideas get out and start to spread among Arab and Muslim youth in America, there will be an emergence of a new type of civil rights movement, a new type of anti-imperialist solidarity, where brown people will be in the forefront. And their ideas have come both we wish they came sooner than they did, but they are in the forefront of raising those ideas, and that's why the state is trying to repress them.
Ahmed and Hadil and Matt, I wonder if you want to talk a little bit about where you see next steps for this movement going. How do we ratchet up awareness about Ahmed, your very important case, and more broadly the case of our colleague in Boston, Farouk in New York, and more broadly the hundreds and perhaps thousands who remain in detention, and try to put this push this effort forward on a national level. If you could talk about that a little bit.
Well, regionally, this will be focused on freeing Ahmed, on pushing for his bond hearing. But nationally, it will be a national campaign for his release and for the release of other political prisoners, particularly those that are centered around Palestine solidarity work. So regionally, the next action is Ahmed's court hearing. He's having a bond hearing Friday the 21st. His hearing is at 1, but we're having a rally at noon, so Friday at noon at the INS Courthouse, which is in downtown Chicago at 10 West Jackson, okay? After that, we'd like to talk, leading up to that, we'd like to talk on a national level as far as doing a national speaking tour, doing coordinated actions with groups in other areas, perhaps the group in Boston dealing with the Gilad case. And also, if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can contact us at www.friendsoflarry.org. Larry, L-A-R-R-Y. So that's what we have coming in the future. And in the meantime, we do hope to build a national campaign around this.
Great. Hadil, this is Dick Riley from Chicago Independent Media Center. We would hope that the Defense Committee for Ahmed would be able to post a statement and the appeal for whatever actions are planned in the future on the Indie Media Network sites, so that folks in St. Louis and in Urbana and Chicago and Madison and Milwaukee and Minneapolis, at least for the regional actions, could have the option of driving into Chicago for that protest on Friday. This broadcast, I think, is going to help ratchet up awareness among our friends and allies across the world about the attacks on the civil liberties of Palestine Solidarity activists and the Arab American community. But we have to be proactive, I think, and really encourage people to take the information that you find on the newswire, at Indie Media, download it, send it out to your email lists, your friends, neighbors, compatriots, and let everybody know and spread the word. Because one of the strengths of our movement as a decentralized, grassroots, global, anti-capitalist movement is our ability to share information really quickly.
That's right, and also share information to make it public, and in terms of whoever's listening to this and whatever work they may be involved with, in terms of making their ideas open and available to people everywhere, making them clear, and I think that's one very good way to defeat different tactics that the state is using right now to oppress us and to silence our voices, which is, you know, tactics like the secret evidence. So we need, and a good way to counter that is, not in my case, where if it seems like they may use secret evidence in a closed court hearing against me, then all the political work that I've been involved with and all the writing or literature or flyers or events that we have organized together and I've played a role in will be available for everyone to see and to come to their own decisions and see basically what the big deal is, you know.
Because everything we've done thus far has been public. And if they want to make it into secret evidence, well, we're not going to keep it a secret anymore. We'll make it public.
Yeah.